Everyone, good to see you today. Let's all stand. The song is Mighty to Save. Here we go.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. Oh, my fears and failures. Fill my life again. My life to follow, everything I believe in, now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We'll sing the King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought Him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the Father's all the way. Saving, keeping, loving was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Matt's going to play through this verse. Turn to your neighbor, smile on your face and say, good to see you today. Good to see you today, man. Good to see you today.
Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond the human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It's wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Oh, wonderful it is to me. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It's wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days, because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Life is worth a living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to glory, and I know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you.
Song choices this morning, because he lives. You think about that. I was talking to a neighbor just yesterday afternoon, standing around visiting, and you look at the world around us and everything seems to be unraveling. And maybe that's just me, maybe I'm reading more into it, but it just seems like we're in the last days, and just things all across the world, things locally, everything is looking pretty bleak in a lot of ways. And that verse says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I know he holds the future. And we've got to know that, folks. If you know Jesus, you're in good shape. you're in better shape than anybody else that that doesn't know Jesus. And what we need to be doing is be about His business, trying to bring more people to know Him and be introducing people to Him, and continue to do what you're doing here this morning, worshiping, letting Him be first in your life. And so welcome this morning. We're in the right place. It's a blessing to see each one of you. We do have visitors. Welcome you. I appreciate you. One of our ushers is going to get by and give you a visitor's packet. Please fill out the card in that packet, and you can drop it in the offering plate on your way out, and we would appreciate that. Return visitors, thanks for coming back and being with us. Okay, we're going to go ahead and ask the blessing this morning and get right back to the singing. I got a new friend here this morning. He pastors over in Godly, Texas. Don, we met these folks at camp, or his wife at camp. And Don, would you lead us in prayer and open us up, please?
Holy, holy is the Just give me Jesus.
Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful this morning for your son, Jesus. He's all we need. We understand that. Through him, our sins are forgiven, and we have the privilege of being regarded as your children, the sheep of your pasture, if you will. I thank you, Lord God, for a church that continues to cling to the Word of God. I thank you for a church that continues to say the name Jesus, to worship the name of Jesus, to praise the name of Jesus, and to serve Jesus. And Lord, we're not perfect. We know that. Lord, we're very fallible people that make up this flock, but we also know that we have an infallible Lord that can guide our steps through each day and cause us to be effective in this world and a shining light and salt, as your word says. Father, we see the goings on around us, and it's discouraging, it's disheartening. We look around and we see, Lord, that unrighteousness seems to be prevailing. But we know there's going to come a time and a day that your son Jesus is going to come back and he's going to set the record straight. Until then, we ask that you'll help us, Lord, to be what we're supposed to be. Help us to be about your business, bringing others to Christ. Help us not to hate. Help us to not condemn, but to be graceful people, but also bold people, clinging to the truth. We ask, Father, for the next few minutes that you'll teach us. Holy Spirit, that you'd have your way in our services and guide every heart and direct every mind to the Word of God. And let me get out of the way as the speaker, Lord. Let your Word speak. Bless the kids in the back. We're so thankful for each one of them. Thank you for a great Sunday school hour. Now bless us now as we open the Word of God and study. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. John chapter 10, if you will. John chapter 10. Man, the music has been fantastic this morning, the songs. Matthew just does a great job on the piano. He's helping us out on Sunday mornings. And while Martha is gone, and we're certainly grateful for that. The last few weeks, we've been visiting the subject of the Good Shepherd and his sheep. Time and time again, Scripture refers to God's children as sheep and declares Jesus to be our shepherd. Now, that's a very fitting and accurate metaphor, and it's one that would have been understood by the people that Jesus was speaking to in Bible times, because shepherding sheep was a common occupation. It was a concept that most everyone was familiar with. But today in modern times, especially here in the Western world, we have a limited understanding about those sort of things, simply because we're not familiar with it. It's just not something that most of us, we don't have a knowledge of the nature and the character of sheep like an Eastern shepherd would. We certainly don't have a grasp on the habits and the methods of a shepherd himself. And this is just not sheep country, so we're not sheep savvy, if you will. We just don't understand those things. But with a little extra study, we can get a peek into the life of an Eastern shepherd, and that is going to allow us to see beyond the surface of what Jesus is teaching in these scriptures, and help us to just kind of discover some of the deeper meanings of these in these particular texts that talk about sheep and the shepherd. Okay, and that's what we've been trying to do for the last few weeks. I don't say this is a series because I don't know from week to week if I'm going to continue in it, but so far so good. Hopefully we've had some success in helping us understand these things better. So we're in John chapter 10. We begin in verse 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So we have in this text twice that it speaks of the shepherd's voice. Verse 3, he says the sheep hear his voice. Verse 4, it says they know his voice. And so we have to understand the relationship of an Eastern shepherd with his sheep is far closer, was far closer and more intimate that you and I than you and I might imagine. In biblical times, the number of sheep in the flock was far less than it would be in a sheep operation today. In modern times, like anything else, volume it seems to be the way to success. And so there was so much more volume now than there would have been in ancient times. Sheep are now run in herds of thousands. And in Bible times, a shepherd may only be managing a few dozen sheep or even maybe less than that. That being the case, it was not uncommon for a man to be so familiar with his animals, with his sheep, that they were given names. And you got to think about that. That might be kind of a fun part of the job of being a shepherd, is getting to name your sheep. What would you name a sheep if you were going to name one? I thought about a few. Lamborghini. Eunice. Kid Rock. How about that? Rambo. These are names I'd name my sheep. Okay, I'll go on. But it says, he calleth his own sheep by name. A good shepherd was very close to his sheep. And the sheep would become so familiar with that particular shepherd and his voice, they would recognize when he was the one giving a command. They would be responsive to him when he called upon his name. And we know that animals have animals in general have a heightened sense of hearing and seeing, more so than a human. They can smell, they can hear, they can see better than you and I, quite a bit better. But also, we know that sheep or any other animal is limited in their reasoning. Probably it's non-existent in many animals. So they operate more off instinct and fixed patterns of behavior. So over time, if an animal receives a certain verbal command from a particular voice, and that command is connected to some action or some event, if that's done often enough, then that will develop a conditioned response. Let me explain, or let me give you an example. Let's say I have a dog. I don't have a dog, but say I had a dog, and he follows me around from day to day. He's my dog. He knows me. I know him. I don't roam the Judean hills like a shepherd, but out at the north place where we have all our animals and stuff, I'm running around there and different things, doing different things all day long, and the dog is following me. But every evening, if I walked into the barn and said, "Let's eat," and I began to put dog food into the dog bowl, he would definitely see that food, and he would go in there and he would begin to eat. Well, if we did that often enough, then there would come a time that I could be anywhere on the place out there and I could say, "Let's eat." And he'd start wagging his tail and head to the barn and go over to his dish because he knows he's fixing to get food. You see, that's a conditioned response. It's not a perfect explanation, but you get the idea. Well, you take day in, day out, a sheep being exposed to a certain shepherd and him talking to them, giving them commands, calling them by name. You couple that with his gentle, caring demeanor, and the sheep are going to begin to become keenly aware of and familiar with that particular voice of that particular shepherd, and will begin to respond to commands or words said in the way that they're expected to. It's a conditioned response, but it's a response. And the sheep will begin to know that voice well and distinguish it from any other voice that they hear. In fact, verse 5 at the end there says, "For they know not the voice of strangers." It's been said that a stranger can speak the same words, give the same commands, or call sheep by the same name, and the sheep will ignore and not respond at all. But when a shepherd, the shepherd of that sheep, announces his presence, they're comforted by that. When he calls for them, they move out in the direction that he is telling them. They're happy to respond to what he says, knowing that there's going to be good grazing, there's going to be still waters, there's going to be rest for their souls. They know that whatever it is that this good shepherd is saying, it's going to be good, because they've experienced that time and time again. He may summon them to take shelter because a storm is coming. And he may simply talk to them in order to calm their fears if they get shook up. But his voice becomes a natural part of their everyday life. They associate his voice with benefits. They associate his voice with provision and comfort and safety. And even when the shepherd has to use a firm voice of correction, a tone that's a little bit harsher, they recognize that tone and they respond to that tone accordingly, not with fear, not with flight, but simple obedience to the one they know is caring for them. So you see how this relates to our relationship with the Lord? Let me ask you this question. Is God's voice recognizable to you? Can you detect it? Scripture tells us that before we met Christ Jesus, we didn't have the ability to discern spiritual things. In other words, we didn't have ears to hear when we were lost. Here's how 1 Corinthians 2:14 puts it. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Natural man meaning lost man, somebody that doesn't know Jesus, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. It's gibberish. It doesn't make sense to the lost person. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. In our natural, unsaved state, we didn't have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. So we lacked the ability to understand spiritual things. We didn't have the ability to truly understand Scripture. Even simple things like God's interaction with His children, those things were not clearly understood by us. We could understand, as lost people, we could understand things kind of in an abstract sense, in that, well, yeah, we could read the Bible and we could retain that information. And in theory, we could kind of understand the parent-child relationship that depicts our connection to God. But we had no spiritual capacity to actually grasp those things and understand those things. They couldn't become real to us because we were lost. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had so many great things happen to them after God had taken them out of Egypt. All kinds of supernatural activity, miracle after miracle happened right before their eyes, and it should have left them with no doubt that God was present and He was going to care for them. It should have left them with no doubt that He had the ability to do whatever was necessary to sustain them while they traveled through the desert. But instead, they murmured and they doubted and they stubbornly asked why they had left Egypt at all. And in chapter 29 of the book of Deuteronomy, God says this to them: "The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles." He's saying, man, all that I've done in front of you. "Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." You know what he's saying there? You're spiritually blind. You're deaf to what I say. You don't have ears to hear. And that's exactly how you and I were before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't have spiritual capacities as unsaved people. The Holy Spirit of God was not present in our life to teach us. We were not equipped to hear and know and understand the things of God. Jesus said many times in His teachings, if you've read throughout the Gospels, you know that He said, "He that hath ears, let him hear." In other words, those that belong to Me, those who are My sheep, listen up, is what He's saying. And then He would proceed to give teachings and commands and wisdom that would be beneficial to His children. It's no different for you and I today. If we're born again Christians, we're His sheep. We belong to Him. The Lord is our shepherd, and He has a lot to say to us. It's just a matter of becoming accustomed to His voice and familiar with the way He leads us. You may ask, how do I hear the voice of God? Well, obviously, it's not audible voice as it was in many times in the Bible, but it can still be just as clear. There's no shortage of ways that God will speak to His children in the age that we live in. We have in our hands a complete Bible. The complete Bible. Page after page, verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book. When we expose ourselves to it, it speaks. We can read it and it speaks. Myself or another preacher can preach it and it speaks. Sunday school teacher can teach it and it speaks. It can speak to us simply by bringing to our mind particular verses that perhaps we've memorized or at least know in a general sense what they say. God may speak to us by just bringing them to our mind. It may be a biblical principle that we've learned along the way through Sunday school or worship or preaching or whatever, and we were able to recall that principle. God is helping us. He's speaking to us. Outside of that, God uses outside sources to speak to us. It may be the counsel of a godly friend. It may be the guidance of our parents or our grandparents or some other mentor in our life that knows the Lord. He may impress certain things upon our hearts. I've had it happen to me very often where God just all of a sudden began to weigh on my heart about a particular something that He wanted me to respond to. He may use circumstances and situations to direct our attention towards certain things. In other words, He can and will use the world around us to make us reach certain conclusions, to make us understand certain things that He wants us to understand. But He wants to make clear to us what He desires of us. His intentions and His purpose and His desires for us are so important. He wants us to understand them. He's not going to make it unclear. He's going to make it very clear. And here's the deal. We don't need to overcomplicate it. And that's what we often do. Sometimes we try too hard to hear the voice of God. And let me explain. Remember, He is our shepherd. We're His sheep. There's a relationship between us. When He speaks to us, He doesn't mumble. When He speaks to us, He doesn't speak under His breath, keeping us guessing. He doesn't want us saying, oh, did He say something? What did He say? I didn't get that. I hope He says it again, because I'm not sure what it was. That's not what God wants from us at all. That's us thinking those things. That's us complicating things. I've seen people, and I've probably done this myself at times, maybe perhaps you have, trying to read something into everything that's happening around us in life. They're driving down the road and they have a flat tire in front of the Methodist church, so they think, well, is God telling me to go to church here? No. The fact is, God's not saying anything. You ran over a nail, and when you run over a nail, you lose the air out of your tire. It's a common phenomenon all around us from week to week. And besides that, if flat tires brought people to church, I'd be putting spike strips down in front of But you see what I'm saying. We shouldn't be sensationalizing everything that's happening around us. There's a lot of things that are just incidental. God wants to speak to us, and He does speak to us, but He does so clearly because He wants us to hear. He doesn't play games. He doesn't say, well, you're getting closer. You're getting closer. Colt. Forget it. We'll try it again later. You didn't find it. No, that's not the way God works. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says this, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. What a memory verse. If you don't know that as a memory verse, you ought to write it down. And it's a quick and easy memory verse to learn. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. This is one of those verses that has a much deeper meaning to it than you and I might see on the surface. And let me show you something. It says, in all thy ways. That word ways in the Hebrew simply means paths. So, essentially, he's saying, in all thy paths, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. See what he's saying there? That's not when you first read it. You don't think that. But he's saying, involve God in every area of your life right now, and he will continue to guide you in all of those things. Acknowledge him in the paths you're on right now, and he will continue to direct your paths. What does it mean to acknowledge him? It simply means give him consideration in those things. Have you been giving God consideration in relation to your marriage? Have you been giving God consideration in relation to your job or your finances or your child raising? Is he a part of the equation already? If the answer is no, then how can we expect to hear anything further on the subject? We haven't listened to what's already been said. God knows how to provide us with green pastures and still waters. He knows how to refresh our soul, but he leads us to those things step by step. He doesn't just magically transport us into those things in a flash. God wants to be involved in our life. He wants to be involved in your marriage right now. He wants to be involved in your finances. He wants you to consider him regarding your finances right now. He wants you to acknowledge him in your job or your career or your business endeavors, whatever it may be. He wants you to do that right now. He should already be helping us raise our children. And if he has not been allowed any consideration in those things up to this point, then why should he speak to us further on the subject? We haven't listened already. We don't seem to have ears to hear. So why would he speak further? We have some cattle across the road from us in a little trap that there's no grass there. And so we're having to feed them every bite they get to eat, and that's going to be the case as long as they're there. So yesterday morning, I told Baylor, first thing, go ahead and put out hay for those cattle, which involves going and putting out 7 big round bales and putting them in hay rings for the cattle to eat. Pretty simple things, okay? What if I had shown up later in the afternoon and looked, and he hadn't put out any hay at all? But yet, when I pulled up, he came up to me enthusiastically asking me, what do I do next? What do I do next? I want to help. I want to do a good job with these cattle. Well, you can imagine what I would have to say. I would be like, you didn't even put the hay out. You didn't do what I've already told you to do. Why would I tell you to do something else? Now, folks, that didn't happen. He's as responsible as I am, okay? But you get the idea. The difference between me and God is I'd kick his tail, you see? And if you parents don't know, there is a really strong connection between the tail end and the ears. You deal with this and the ears start working. It just is. But again, that didn't happen with Baylor. He does a fantastic job for everything that he does for us, so. But don't start listening for God's voice if you have ignored his voice up to this point. If you've ignored what you've already heard. But when we've listened and we've obeyed to prior instructions and prior leadership and prior direction, then we can rest assured that he has more to say to us because we have listening ears. We hear his voice and we respond, and so he knows that he can tell us more and we'll respond. But there's something else we have to think about further, another variable in this. We're not the only sheep in his flock, right? It's not a one sheep business. There's many sheep in the Lord's flock. And yes, we have to recognize his voice as it relates to us personally, no doubt. And he often has specific intentions for you and I as individuals and particular things that he wants to tell us to do. Yes, all of that. But it will never be in conflict with his desires for the whole flock. So if we think we're hearing the voice of God telling us to do this, that, or the other, and it has benefit to ourselves, but it's not beneficial to those around us, most specifically the other sheep, then we're not hearing the voice of God at all. It may be the voice, it may be an inner voice of selfishness, it may be background noise of this world, but it's not God, because God would never lead us in ways that would ill affect others in his flock. He would never lead a dad, a Christian dad, in ways that would ill affect the children or the wife. Vice versa. He would never lead a employer, a Christian employer, to do something that would not be beneficial to the flock that works for that company. You see, that he just doesn't work that way. Let me remind you of something. Back in the late fall of 1998 and the early months of 1999, God began to speak regarding the flock here at Bible Baptist Church. You guys didn't have a pastor, and you needed a pastor. And I'm of the firm belief that churches become unhealthy the longer they don't have a pastor. In other words, I think churches, when they change pastors, they need to hurry up the process. Not be impulsive and not do it in a reckless way, but also have a certain amount of urgency that we need God's man in the leadership position of this church. Okay, I hope you understand that. But in y'all's case, y'all needed a pastor, and there happened to be a sheep in Clarendon, Texas, named Chris. Now, verse 3 says he calleth them by name. He calls me Chris, okay? And Chris happened to be married to another sheep named Tricia. He calls her Tricia. And those two happened to have three little sheep, eeny, meeny, and miny, because we weren't going to have no mo. And so God began to speak to the Downer family. And at the same time, he was speaking to the family at Bible Baptist, the flock at Bible Baptist, which led to, we were both hearing the voice of God in to a certain extent, which led for us to be introduced to you guys here. And we were all continuing to be attentive to his voice. And y'all entertained me to come and speak to you and bring my family. And I did, and I preached to you guys, and it was a small flock, mind you, but God led each of you, after I preached, he led each of you in favor of calling me to be your pastor. It was 100% unanimous vote for me to be your pastor. That means all four of you said yes. And then guess what? I said yes, and my wife said yes, because we are a team. Kids didn't have any choice. And so we came here. Now, we have a flock. And since that time, the results have been God has accomplished many desires for his flock. I feel like it's been a healthy flock. I feel like it's been a fulfilled flock, not a perfect flock. And the good things have happened, and certainly not been because I've been the pastor, but it's because we all listen to the voice of God and continue to do so along the way. Sheep, God will speak to you. You're a sheep. God will speak to you and tell you to do things, but he will never do it if it conflicts with his work or with the other sheep of his flock. Never. What I want you to walk away from here with this morning, more than anything else, is this. When you become a child of God, you belong to him. He's the shepherd, you're the sheep. A good shepherd wants good things for his sheep. A good shepherd wants his sheep to understand what he's desiring for them. A good shepherd would never desire for them something that was not best for them. So we can safely sit back and obey God, listening to His voice, what He says in His Word, and obey Him in every area of our life, in our marriages, in our finances, in our child raising, in our job and career, whatever endeavors we have outside of the family, and we can safely follow Him. He's not going to lead us in the wrong way. But here's the deal. We know to do a lot of things right now. We know He spoke on particular things. It's clear. It's in black and white in these pages. And if we're not doing them, we're not hearing Him in that and responding accordingly, don't be surprised if you can't hear anything else going forward. Why would He continue to speak to sheep that won't listen? Furthermore, verse 3 says, He calleth His own sheep. Verse 4 says, He putteth forth His own sheep. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. You and I will never be able to have spiritual discernment and understand the spiritual things of God until we're His sheep, until we're His own. A lot of people make the mistake, folks, of thinking, well, I should go to church. Church is very important for the sheep, okay? But they think, I should go to church because I need to walk with God. And then people say, well, I should be baptized because I need to walk with God. And on, all these ideas, when the truth of the matter is, the very first thing that needs to be done is you need to become His sheep. You've got to belong to Him in order for Him to work in your life. And people are all the time, we're Sunday morning right now in the United States of America, and churches have dozens and dozens of people who are sitting in the pew that are not the sheep of God. I'm not finding fault with that. It'd be rather than be there than somewhere else. But spinning our wheels until we've been saved. Waste of time, really. Waste of time trying to hear God when we're not His own. So as you stand this morning, we're going to have our heads bowed, and we're going to have a moment that we're going to invite you to come if you would like. Invite you to pray right where you are. And if you're a sheep, you know what you need to pray about. There's a lot of things you can pray about. That's between you and the shepherd. But if you're not a sheep, my invitation to you right now is, why don't you become one? You need your sins forgiven. You need eternal life. When you die someday, as we sang earlier, you're going to need Jesus. You die someday and you haven't yet found Jesus, it's a real ugly deal. It's a real ugly deal in eternity. So as heads are bowed, if God's spoken to your heart, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him.